The group of 20 world economic powers prepares to meet in Germany. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. President Trump attends his first G20 summit on Friday. The gathering in the German city of Hamburg brings together representatives of the world's 20 largest economies. It will be the first meeting between Trump and the Russian President Vladimir Putin as global leaders. But another potential showdown is also attracting attention between Trump and German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
G20 summits usually pass unnoticed by the general public, but this one will be different, says Mike Jakeman of the Economist Intelligence Unit.
This is going to be a very high-profile G20 summit. This is going to be one where the world's media is going to be watching extremely closely.
They'll be watching for sparks to fly if, as expected, German leader Angela Merkel clashes with President Trump.
Germany has put itself almost at odds with the US, and it is taking a very strong stance on issues like climate change, free trade as well.
Stephen Booth of the Open Europe think tank says Merkel has attacked what she sees as Trump's protectionism and his withdrawal from the Paris Climate Agreement. And Booth says most of the G20 will be on Merkel's side.
You really do sort of see the US being, to some degree, isolated.
The summit should provide China with a major grandstanding opportunity. The world's biggest exporter does not allow the entirely free flow of goods and capital into its own country, but it will line up with the Europeans over the issue of free trade. Ian Bond of the Centre for European Reform.
We have the rather bizarre situation that actually the Europeans and the Chinese find themselves to some extent on the same side in defending the international trading order.
But while the German leader, backed by the Chinese, may clash with Trump over trade,
I don't think that Merkel or the rest of the EU wants to push this too hard.
After all, says Stephen Booth, the Europeans know where their real interests lie.
The reality is the EU does rely on US power, both soft and hard.
And he says they would love to strike a free trade deal with the world's richest economy. Don't expect a massive onslaught against the US president in Hamburg. At the European Desk in London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is in Brussels today, where he's expected to approve the broad outlines of a trade deal between Japan and the European Union. BBC Europe correspondent Damian Grammaticus has been looking at what's in the deal.
What the negotiators say is that 99% of products will be covered, particularly what their interest is for the EU side is sending agricultural produce, food, milk products, cheese, things which are in big demand in Japan from the Japanese population but have been quite protected in Japanese markets, in return opening up particularly to things like Japanese automobiles, Japanese cars and car parts, for which EU producers have maintained tariffs and blocks. Now, those will be opened up gradually over time. They're talking about 7 years, possibly 10 years of gradual opening. But at the end, there will be very, very open trade in almost every area.
Let's do the numbers. The German DAX is down 0.9%, or almost 1%. The FTSE in London also down 0.8%. U.S. stock futures are trading lower, with the Dow future down 75 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is up to 2.36%. Two economic indicators have been performing well lately, consumer confidence and home prices. The latest home price data from CoreLogic and the Case-Shiller Index confirm this trend. The question is, will those confident consumers and wealthier homeowners actually spend more? Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Consumer confidence surged after the November election. Home prices, meanwhile, have been rising 5 to 6% per year, about twice as fast as incomes. David Blitzer at Standard & Poor's says that means a lot of homeowners are building equity, where their home's value is well above what they owe on the mortgage.
They not only feel richer, they are richer. And that should generally be a plus for consumer sentiment.
It's what economists call the wealth effect, when personal assets, say real estate or mutual funds, go up in value. But Chris Christopher at IHS Market points out rising stocks and home values affect consumers differently.
The stock market has more influence on consumer confidence. If it's doing well, even people who don't have stocks feel better. With home prices, it's our research indicates you feel a little bit more wealthy as the price goes up. You're more likely to spend.
Though it remains to be seen if high consumer confidence will lead to a surge in spending. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Fewer children have been watching the Disney Channel over the past 3 years. More of them are watching video online and bypassing cable altogether. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein looks at how the channel is adapting to the era of cord cutting.
Once upon a time, Disney Channel executives enjoyed golden eggs, in the shape of mouse ears, of course, falling into their laps.
For 25 years, the cable industry was growing. There were always new households signing up. Broader packages were being sold.
That's Brian Weezer, an analyst with Pivotal Research. Recently, the stream of eggs has slowed as consumers seek other options. That cuts into Disney's handsome cable TV profits and the hundreds of millions it makes from consumers who buy toys and other stuff after watching the shows. It's likely company executives will move to deliver content directly to consumers online. Probably, though, a smaller group, says University of Michigan's Amanda Lotz.
Analysts are really uncomfortable when they see these niche services reaching only 1 million or 2 million people. But I think that really is the new normal.
More online streaming means learning consumers' habits and preferences. Lott says identifying the Disney Channel superfans and super serving them could be the path to more of those gold ear-shaped eggs. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And U.S. regulators have posted the so-called living wills of some of the biggest banks, including J.P. Morgan Chase and Citigroup. The documents demonstrate how the banks would unwind in the face of another financial crisis without a taxpayer bailout. The 2010 Dodd-Frank Act gives regulators the power to break up the banks if their plans aren't credible. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.